And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it is about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. Happy Saturday. This is program 127 in the series, and we're up to full power, Lisa Wolf. We have 3 hours on the air tonight, all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, actually, this is a weird night because
we're lucky to have the 3 hours. We feel like we missed it last week, but we do not have the extra fourth hour for daylight saving time. Player is the lucky recipient of that prize.
So at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're off the air, but then it becomes 1 o'clock in the morning.
And then,
this is way too confusing for me.
Yeah.
I'm so easily confused.
Yeah, I know.
So the vivacious Lisa's to my right. We have Elif Garis, our producer, in the booth. She's from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show. You know that, right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
And so...
Hi.
Hi, Elif. And we're going to start things off with a radio show that my mother loves. It's for my mother, Life with Luigi, 1949. Then it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Then the Screen Director's Playhouse, starring Charles Boyer. We have a great lineup, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming thriller What Happened to Monday, which takes place in a not-so-distant future where overpopulation has forced governments to undertake a drastic one-child policy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you are the winner,
uh-huh,
you get a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice from Tree Time Christmas Creations, which is in Lake Barrington, and the winner has to pick up the tree from Tree Time in Lake Barrington.
I want that prize.
I know you do. We're sort of fighting for it here.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actress here.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Yeah, she's not going to be ignored,
no,
Lisa.
No, not her.
All right, if you know who that actress is, give us a call, 312-981-7200, and win a whatever that was Lisa talked about after these words.
We are back. This is show 127 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Every girl I date, this happens.
They don't want to be ignored.
They say this to me.
That they don't want to be ignored?
They don't want to be ignored.
Well, I think that's
a fair... And then
a
rabbit ends up in
yeah,
boiling
exactly.
water on
exactly.
my stove.
Gosh, that's true.
Hate when that happens.
Nancy from Arlington Heights, are you with us?
I am.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Well, Arlington Heights is not too far from Lake Barrington, so I'm hoping you know this answer.
It's Glenn Close.
It is Glenn Close. You are a winner. So this is what you won. A certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white microlights from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. You can check them out at treetime.com. We love the commercials. We love the company. And we are so thrilled to give you this product. So we hope you enjoy it for the holiday season, Nancy.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take care.
Nancy. All right, so you ready for some classic radio, Lisa?
It's that time. It's Life with Luigi for your mama.
Yeah, my mom, Rosalie, she's out there listening, and this is her favorite radio show. She used to listen to this show as a kid with her brothers, and this show and Dr. Kildare are her two favorite shows. So I thought I'd play a Life with Luigi for my mom, and of course for all of our listeners.
Of course.
And so this is going back to June 5th, 1949. Now, Life with Luigi was a comedy. It starred J. Carroll Nash as a newly naturalized American citizen named Luigi Basco. And he was living here in Chicago, although it was not broadcast out of Chicago, it was broadcast out of L.A. And he would write letters, Lisa, to his Mamma Mia in Italy, telling of his adventures in Chicago. And he owned an antique shop here in Chicago, and his sponsor, Pasquale, was played by Alan Reed, who was the voice of Fred Flintstone. He owned a spaghetti palace. And Pasquale's daughter, Rosa, was very overweight, and he wanted to marry her off. And his number one choice to marry her off to was Luigi. This was a show created by Cy Howard and ran on radio from 1948 until 1953, sponsored by Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. And it also ran on television for 1 year in 1952. Here is a Life with Luigi episode. It's called At the Races. Let's go back to June 5th, 1949. J. Carroll Nash in part one of Life with Luigi.
We invite you to enjoy life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Left Italy to start his new life in America, he promised his mother that he would write and tell her about his adventures. So now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, most wonderful thing about America is the different schools that they got here. There's a day school, night school, a public school, a private school, secretary school, a business school. And yesterday I'm going to read about a school special for people with tiny fingers. It's called a shorthand school. Everybody is going to school here, even the girls. They start a school when they're 5 or 6. And they let them out when they're 17 or 18. Just when they're old enough to support the husband. My countryman, Pasquale, who's bringing me here from Italy a year and a half ago, he's making fun of me because I go to night school. He says I'm no more boy and it's hard for me to concentrate. But my teacher, Miss Spaulding, she's a blonde, got a blue eyes and a wonderful shape. Mamma mia, I'm concentrate the plan. Last week I was up at a blackboard, and when she's holding my hand in hers to teach me penmanship, Mamma mia, the chalk is a turn of red from a blood. And the whole class, did they like her very much too? Well, Mamma mia, is it getting late? And I'm gonna go to my night school. The class is a chipping in money to buy Miss Spaulding a present. And I'm not the one to miss this. Even though I don't know my lesson, because I'm thinking what to buy her. America, I love you. You like a papa to me. From ocean to ocean.
Oh, quiet, please, please. Fine. Now I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Yes.
Mr. Harwin?
Yeah.
Mr. Olson?
Yes.
Mr. Schultz? Mr. Schultz, did the cat get your tongue?
You must have been in my delicatessen today. That's just what happened. No, I don't mind the tongue so much, but the cat got so thirsty, he was drinking beer all day.
Mr. Schultz, that's ridiculous. How could the cat get into the beer?
Yeah, that's what kills me. All day long, I was standing around opening up cans for
him. All right, Mr. Schultz. Such talk. Sometimes I wonder what a psychoanalyst would make out of all this.
$25 an hour.
Please. Now, class, our first problem in algebra is very simple, and you should easily be able to figure it out. Now, listen. If John can dig a ditch in one day, and it takes Mary 2 days to dig that ditch, how long would it take John and Mary digging together? Mr. Basco.
John and Mary?
That's right.
What's their second name?
Mr. Basco, that doesn't matter. Now listen, if John can dig a ditch in one day and it takes Mary 2 days to dig it, how long would it take John and Mary digging together?
3 days?
No.
4 days?
No.
5 days?
Stop, Luigi. Give them the weekend off.
No. Mr. Basco, you're not thinking today. Now, don't you remember what I taught you yesterday about X? Let X be the unknown quantity. Now, Mr. Basco, in that problem, how much is X?
70 cents a dozen.
What's the use? I give up.
Miss Spaulding, you have called on everyone here, but you didn't call on me. My feelings are hurt.
There he goes again. Ooh, what a show-off. Einstein with a crew haircut.
Mr. Olson, I'm very sorry. You may give the class the answer.
Thank you. Using algebra with X, the unknown quantity, the answer is 16 hours.
That's perfect, Mr. Olson. Mr. Schultz, what do you think of that?
A bulldozer could have done the job in 30 minutes.
Now, I will tell the class how I got the answer. Figure it out first with common sense. John digs the hole in 1 day. Mary digs it in 2 days. So I figure together they must dig the hole in less than 1 day.
Olsen, the next time John and Mary dig that hole, I hope it's for you.
Mr. Schultz, instead of trying to be so funny, why don't you try to show some interest and learn something about algebra?
Why, frankly, Miss Spaulding, be such a beautiful teacher as you.
Mr. Schultz.
So you are so lovely. Sometimes very hard to concentrate.
Mr. Schultz.
Oh, such beautiful blonde hair and blue eyes. I never
wanted... Mr. Schultz.
Yes?
Well, finish what you were saying. My question can wait.
Wait for me, so you walk so far. Oh, listen to me. I'm so pooped, I'm gonna pop.
Schultz, are you just in a time? We was starting to talk about the Miss Spaulding's present.
The best is not good enough for her. Right, then I am shipping in my quarter right now.
A quarter? Olsen, what are you trying to do? Start inflation? The only thing you could buy with a quarter today is 2 dimes and a nigger.
Boys, let's leave it up to each person himself. I'm chipping in $10.
But we want to give her a present, not a life pension.
I'm agreeing with the Horowitz. I'm going to get $10 or two. How about you, Schultz?
I give twice whatever Olsen gets.
There, young Benjamin, he has my $10 bill.
And I give twice that, 2 fives.
Well, all right, the shooter. Now we got $40. I got a good idea what to buy her.
You don't know, Luigi. You're a bachelor. We buy her one of those things like my wife has got it.
What's that, Schultz?
Who knows what they call it? She wears it when she goes to sleep. It's made from pink satin or something. It's got 2 straps on top, a bare middle. And on the back, it says World's Fair, New York, 1939.
I got a better idea. It's getting hot weather. Miss Spaulding goes to the beach. So let's get her something modern. A Catalina swimsuit.
But to her, that's no good. She's no living a Catalina.
Oh, you little dumb cop. You think if you go on a Pan American Clipper, you gotta take a haircut?
Her a bathing suit. So how do we know what size she takes?
I can tell just by looking at Miss Spaulding. She takes either a 24 or a 42.
You're that's all wrong. There's only 3 sizes for women. Small, medium, or large.
Now, wait a minute. What if a girl is small in the... and large by the... Why don't we get her a smoking jacket?
No, I got an idea.
dear. Maybe we should...
I told you, Luigi, what do you know?
Well, how about the cosmetics? Like Revlon nail polish?
That's good, but it's only 60 cents a bottle.
But if she's got a 10 fingers, that's a $6.
Nothing doing. For $6, we can send her out and get her diamond eyes.
Everybody, I've got a better idea.
So, Luigi, will you stop?
Sure. Give Luigi a chance to talk. What's your idea, Luigi?
Well, I was to think of something where we don't have to worry about size or anything else.
Uh-huh.
We get a pocketbook, and you know the thing with the powder, the compact.
Yeah.
That's a nice present, and it costs about $40.
It's a wonderful idea. Idea. Luigi, if you had such a good idea, why didn't you open your mouth before instead of waiting all
Pasquale, you excuse me. I'm in a big hurry now.
Wait a second, a little pumpkin ahead. What's in the box?
Well, I'm going to buy a present for somebody.
That's nice. It's about time you bought us something for my Rosa.
Pasquale, this present is not for Rosa. It's for a girl.
Oh.
Don't answer that.
Luigi, since when have you got enough money to buy a present for somebody?
What is it for my school teacher, Miss Spaulding? Who we ought to put in $40. I got a $20 to buy her nice pocketbook. And a Schultz has got a $20 to buy her compact.
Now, wait. Don't rush so fast. You know, Luigi, they got a saying in a barbershop, a fool and his money is soon apart in the middle. Now, Luigi, what would happen if you lose this money?
Oh, Pasquale, that would be terrible.
That's what I thought.
Luigi, you better watch out.
Why?
They got a fellas walking around to give you a belt and a hair to take away your money. That's what they call a money belt.
Money belt? For Pasquale, I thought in America they called them a robbers.
Who's to live in America longer, you or me? Robbers is what they wear on a rainy day.
You was to lose that money, you would do anything to get it back, wouldn't you? You might even marry Rosa.
I wouldn't lose the money.
Don't be so sure. Luigi, I'm a little worried. Look, I'm a very busy man, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang around you all day and a bodyguard of your money.
You was this for me, Pasquale. Why?
Because I'm in love with you, you little cabbage puss.
Come on, and we go to the store for your teacher's present, eh?
All right.
Oh, wait. I'm just to remember something. Now is 12 o'clock. It's a bad time to go shopping. Department stores are full of pickpockets.
What?
Yeah, time to go is between 5:30 and 6. That's a bargain of time.
Bargain of time?
Sure. By that time, all of the pockets is a pick. Customers can afford to buy, they can't anymore. Prices will go down. When you walk in, you get twice as much of your money.
But, Pasquale, what are we going to do until 5:30 or 6 o'clock?
Well, don't worry. There's lots of things to do. We go to the park, enjoy the fresh air. Luigi, was you ever in a Lincoln Field?
No, what's that?
That's like a Santa Anita. You sit up in the stands, you get a nice suntan, enjoy yourself.
It sounds good, Pasquale.
Sure, you're going to love it. So let's go. You watch the horses run around.
Horses?
Yes, it's like a zoo.
Oh,
it's a wonderful in there. By the time you get it through looking at the green grass and the blue sky and smelling the fresh air, believe me, Luigi, you're going to feel like you went into the cleaners.
All right, that's the first portion of Life with Luigi from 1949. We'll have more of that in a flash. Thank you, David. And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, but actually till 1 o'clock in the morning because we go back an hour.
So but we are. We do get an extra hour of sleep, but we're on for 3 hours.
But
tonight.
We are on for three full hours. We're back to full power, Lisa.
Full power.
I got to tell you, this month has been crazy. But the Cubs won the World Series. I am still in shock over that. It was almost worth not doing 3 hours every Saturday and Sunday.
Almost. The key word of that.
Because
sentence.
This is the highlight of my life, doing the show on Saturday and Sunday.
I think it's just coming and seeing me.
And
personally.
Then when it was sort of preempted because
sort of
Cubs games, I was like, but they
well,
won.
Well, at least they won out
they
of the
won.
Deal.
And I think that they are.
Did you go to the parade on Friday?
No.
You know, the school was almost closed on Friday. I made my daughter go to school, and I couldn't decide if I was the worst mom in the world or the best mom in the world.
Well, to her, you're the best mom. To the rest of the world, you're the worst mom.
There were like four kids in each of her classes. And so, I thought she was better off in school. What
you
can
know
I
what?
Say? Than with like the 5 million people that were in the city.
Just
don't
let her do like me when she goes to college.
Take
don't let her
space.
Take up space
gotcha.
Like I did. All right?
Gotcha.
Because then she'll amount to something.
Right.
We want her to amount to something.
Exactly.
All right, we're listening to Life with Luigi, J. Carroll Nash, along with Alan Reed. This is from June 5th, 1949, at the racetrack. Here's the conclusion of Life with Luigi.
Second act of Luigi Vasco's adventures in Chicago, we turn to page 2 of his letter to his mother in Italy.
And so, Mamma Mia, in a minute, my good friend Pasquale and me, we're going to Lincoln Field. Right now, Pasquale is a run down to the corner for a minute. I think he must have bad itch. Because he's telling me he's a run out to buy a scratch sheet. But anyway, I think it was very nice of Pasquale to offer to help me watch him Spalding's present money.
Hey, Luigi, come on!
Oh, he's calling me now. I'm going to finish this letter later.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Lincoln Field. Post time for the first race is 1:30.
Well, Luigi, how you like?
Well, it's a funny kind of park, Pasquale. No trees and no flowers and no mamas with a baby carriage. Only lots of people are running around and looking worried. You know, I think they all looking for jobs because they all checking off the things in a newspaper.
Let me explain to you. Besides this being a park and a zoo, over here is also a racetrack. Sooner the horses are going to run around the track and people are going to bet on who's going to come in first, and everybody wins lots of money.
Everybody's a win?
That's right.
Then who's a loser?
Don't tell anybody. The horses.
Pasquale, why don't the horses complain?
Because they don't know. Oh. If those horses ever find out what's going on, they make the people run around the track and they bet on them.
That's very interesting. Explain to me more about this race.
Ah, it's getting into your blood, eh? Well, to begin with, there's all kinds of races, you see. There's the maiden races, the steeplechases, and the daily doubles. Maiden races, that's for bashful horses. Steeplechase races, that's for horses what was born in the Coney Island.
Oh. And what's this daily doubler?
That's a race for horses what's twins.
Oh.
Every once in a while, if they run something, they call a handicap.
Handicap?
Yes, that's a race for nearsighted horses. And this a handicap race of the winner, they hand him a cap, and he's never again got a race with the sun in his eyes.
Mamma mia, there's so much to learn.
Sure. 5 minutes to post time.
Well, Luigi, I'm going to make my first bet and start the winning the money. You want to come along with me? Not that I would have let you bet.
No, thanks, Pasquale. What is a good place to sit in the sun?
I got a wonderful spot for you. Come on, right by the $2 window. Come on. Oh, what a race!
Pasquale, it's 5 o'clock. How long does it take to get to the department store from here?
Don't worry. You've got plenty of time to buy another present for your teacher. How you can sit around for 6 races without making a one bet, I'm not going to understand.
But, Pasquale, I've been telling you, it's enough of my money. I'm no kind of touch.
Luigi, if it wasn't for me, I'm no care for you never make a bet. But a fella who's owning this the racer tracker, he's a no like a slackers.
Full sign, place your bets for the 7th race.
Luigi, that man is a hollering at you.
Father Pasquale, besides that the money is not the mine, it's for Miss Spalding's present, and there's something else. I was always taught is not the nicer to bet.
Luigi, you're talking foolish. Some of the biggest of people, presidents, even the prime ministers, that bet on the races.
Prime ministers?
Sure. You never hear of Churchill Downs?
Well, that's right. And even say presidents, they bet on the races, too?
Luigi, what's the name of this race track where you sit now?
Lincoln Fields.
Defense rests.
Until post time.
Well, Luigi?
Well, Pasquale, don't rush me. What's to happen if I'm losing Miss Spalding's money? I'm never going to be able to face anybody.
Luigi, in this race, it's impossible to lose. Just look at this newspaper. The sports editor's a smart fella, eh?
Well, yes.
Yeah, well, he's to tell you exactly who's going to win. Here, read it for yourself.
All right. Let me see. Harvey Smith's selection.
That's the fella.
Read the count. The winner. Easy Twister. Can't lose. Binnacle Bob. The favorite horse. Leon's a boy. My selection for the day. Dr. Klein hasn't lost a race yet. Rose Gal. Don't bet against this one. Pasquale, according to this, a fella, they all are gonna win.
That's a right, Luigi. It's a fixed race.
I can't lose it.
Yep. And look, Luigi, if you bet on this horse, or Rose is a girl, that's a 200-to-1 shot. For your $20, you get a $4,000 back after the race.
$4,000, mamma mia.
Rose is a girl. What a hunch. My Rose, she's a your girl.
And she's away as much as the horse.
Yeah. Quick, Luigi, rush over, make your bet.
Go, well,
don't stand. Go. You want to be broke all the time, or you want to get rich. Go.
All right. Where I go, Pasquale?
Yeah, well, it's a $20 window. Hurry up.
All right.
Next.
Number 3, 2 times.
Next.
Number 5, Dr. Klein to place.
Next.
Please, I'm like to make a deposit.
What?
I'm like to put in $20 down payment on my $4,000.
Look, mister, what's a horse you want to bet on?
A horse is a gal.
What's the number?
You mean a horse has got a telephone?
No. Let's get moving. You want to bet Rose's gal? That's number 5.
All right, here's my $20. You're going to know it's mine. He's got a rubber band around and it's written in my name, Luigi Bosco. He's right on the Lincoln as a beard.
Fine. Now, look, you want to bet that 20 win, place, or show?
Huh?
You want the horse to come in first, second, or third?
The horse that does whatever I want?
No. Just how do you want to bet?
I'm expecting my horse to win.
Okay, I'll put the $20 on the nose.
Oh, nothing to do with it. She's a sneeze. I'm a white dog.
Hey, here, bud. Here's your ticket. 20 to win. Window closed, that's all.
Got it. I always get
up and running. A red count is going to the front. Leon's boy is second by a length, and Dr. Klein. Ralph McClellan. Leon's boy.
Hey, Luigi, I'm going to look all over. You make you back?
Yeah, Pasquale. $20 on the Rose's the gallery.
Yeah, come on, we go to the front so we can watch the rest.
At the half mile, it's Leon's boy, Dr. Klein and Easy Twist. It's Dr. Klein and Easy Twist. Easy Twist and Dr. Klein.
Where's the Rose's a gal?
And now Rose's gal is making a move. Here she comes out of the starting gate. Running like wildfire.
Come on, Rose's a gal.
taking the lead. It's Dr. Klein run by a length. Dr. Klein by two lengths. And here comes Spinnacle Bob.
Where's Lorenzo's cigar?
It's Spinnacle Bob and Leon's boy. It's Spinnacle Bob and Leon's boy and Easy Twist. And now here comes...
Come on, Lorenzo's cigar!
Red Count in front by a length with Leon's boy and Dr. Klein. Red Count, Leon's boy, Dr. Klein, Easy Twist, and Spinnacle Bob from neck and neck. Here they come down to the line of finish, and the winner is... Red Coat.
What's Squally? Where's the Rosa's Gal?
Rosa's Gal is rounding the clubhouse turn.
Squally, this means I'm a loser to $20.
Yes, it looks alike. Luigi, how could you be such a terrible a man to bury your own teachers a present?
But Pasquale, it wasn't your advice.
But if you was a real honest person, you wouldn't listen to me. Go away. If there's anything I hate, it's a gambler.
Pasquale, please, you gotta help me. Soon as you're gonna be 5:30. I'm gotta get the money for the present. Come on, please, help me.
Help me, help me, help me. What do you think I am, a lifeguard in the YMCA? Look, Luigi, I'm gonna lend you $20 for your present if you do me a little favor.
Masquale, don't tell me you was a bringer Rosa to this race field.
How you guess? I call her right now. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes, I call you, my little citation. Say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Luigi's just do a foolish thing. He's a gamble away as a teacher's a present of money. Why, you know, say something to cheer him up, eh?
Luigi, you want to race me around the track?
Shut up, you face!
Pasquale, I'm going to do anything you ask me. Only promise me you're never going to tell anybody how I'm a bet the teachers the money on the race.
Sure, Luigi, I promise.
Wait. There's a Schultz.
Schultz?
Yeah. I think he was a following of me.
Oh, he's a running away, eh? Schultz, come here.
Oh, you catched me. Luigi, forgive me. I did a terrible thing. I bet me Spalding's $20 on the race. Oh, forgive me, Luigi. Forgive me, Schultz. Schultz, you know something. I'm going to do the same thing.
Without work, Luigi. Luigi, we are the lowest things in the world. We are so low, we got to step up to step down into a Hudson. We should have our heads examined, we are so far shimmered.
But Schultz, what are we going to tell Olsen and Horowitz?
What is there to tell?
I'm going to lose all of the money.
You lost? You dunkop, I won!
Well,
certainly, you had the dope like Pasquale give you advice. I got some red-hot tips from a smart fellow via Harvey White, the fellow from the racing team. Harvey, meet my friend Luigi.
Hello, Luigi.
And so, Mamma Mia, with the money, Schultz is a win. Who had bought the Miss Spalding some wonderful present. A beautiful pocketbook and two gloves. One for each hand. At the first, she's a say no. She's a no can accept such expensive a present. But the whole class will make her take it. She can use it. And besides, in a few days, she's going to mark our final examination of papers. And every little bit to help. Son of Luigi Bosco, the little immigrant.
Jake Peronas has starred as Luigi Bosco with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Hans Conried as Schultz, and Mary Ship as Miss Spalding. Music is under the direction of Lynn Murray.
That is Life with a Luigi, Lisa, from June 5th, 1949 at the racetrack. J. Carroll Nash on that show. Also Alan Reed, and you had Mary Shipp on that show, along with Ken Peters and Joe Forte. It was originally sponsored by Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, although this show was a sustained show. Wrigley wasn't on the as sponsor yet. It was heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, David Jennings. Appreciate that, sir. It is 7 minutes after midnight. This is kind of snappy, kind of jazzy, kind of toe-tapping.
Well, Elif is pretty snappy, so it goes she along is. With her personality.
No, she's from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing the show.
Yeah, I heard that already. It only works once. I told you that.
Now, that's my new slogan for
Every
Elif.
Night?
Sorry.
Every Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I'll just do it on Saturday and then once on Sunday. So that's only 104 times a year. Huh? I added that up. I timesed it. 52
you
times
timed,
2.
You timed it.
Well, actually, it's 150. Well, let's see. What did I say? 104? It's actually 105 times. You know why? Because we're doing Thanksgiving here on Thursday.
Yeah, but Elif won't be with us. So
you're not
going to
produce
sense
our
to
Thanksgiving
say it if
show.
She's not here.
Oh, that's a shame.
You're producing that show, aren't you? Folks,
no.
We're going to be here for, what, 2 hours?
2 hours,
yeah,
9 to 11 on Thanksgiving.
We're going to have two Thanksgiving shows. And where are you going to be? Eating turkey from Turkey because you're not a turkey?
I will be out of town, actually, for
oh,
the
really?
First time in a long time.
All right, in that case, you can take the night off.
Thank you.
Gobble, gobble.
Carl's tough.
Gobble, gobble.
Carl, you are a tough
I am
a tough
turkey. In this hour, we have more classic radio. Did you know that, Lisa?
I didn't.
This
I do
is,
now, though.
The name of this show is the WGN Radio Theater.
Oh.
The WGN, what does that stand for? World's Greatest what?
Newspaper.
Very good,
if
Lisa.
If I didn't know that, I should be booted out of here.
And the radio theater part means these radio shows that we play.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanted to break it down to its...
Good. Thank you.
To its,
I'm a little slow sometimes.
Lowest denominator
Thank
for you.
You
there. And Richard Diamond, private detective on this hour. Dick Powell from 1952. And then in our next hour, it is Charles Boyer starring on the Screen Directors Playhouse. All brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming action adventure Ant-Man and the Wasp, a follow-up to the 2015 Marvel film Ant-Man.
Okay.
And the winner
yeah.
gets a Christmas package including a Lightkeeper Pro and a scent keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree.
You just spray it on the tree and it smells like a real
sure,
tree?
I'm not sure, honestly.
No.
But you can check it out at lightkeeperpro.com.
Use that for deodorant, too.
I was thinking maybe.
That might
it
be
would
interesting.
Be helpful.
Walk around and be like, smell like a tree.
That might be better
yeah.
than the alternative.
I could leave like a tree. All right. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor right here.
I don't know what you're up to, but I'm going to tell you it's going to stop right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeedy. 312-981-7200. Who's that actor? Call us and win a Lightkeeper Pro and whatever else Lisa said at 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Well, I don't know.
I
that's what you
time.
Said. We're back.
We
we're
are
playing
back.
Celebrity Scoop, and right. we're going to play that movie clip again.
I don't know what you're up to.
Lisa, I don't know what you're
you
up
gonna
to.
It's going to stop right now.
It's going to stop right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
We can talk
Crazy.
To him about that. Let's talk to Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What are you up to?
Oh, I'm on my way to Walgreens to pick up a prescription.
Oh, well, that's important. I did that today, too. So who's that who's that celebrity?
I believe that's Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas is right. Sam, you are a winner, and you have won
All
the
right.
very coveted Christmas package, including a Lightkeeper Pro, which I know is a complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and everybody is trying to get their hands on those.
I think he was picking up that prescription Ew. For Michael Douglas.
He was... Right. I'm sure that's true. And a scent keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit lightkeeperpro.com. Thank you so much. We're glad you caught us on your way to Walgreens.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Take
Sam.
Care, Sam.
All right. I think he's going to ship it out to him out in L.A.
Well, I hope FedEx that this is getting everybody in the holiday spirit, because I can't believe it's already November.
It is.
And it's just around the corner. Of course, you know I'll be in Florida during Christmas.
Gosh,
so I'm
going
to leave you for one weekend. I'm out of here.
We'll have a special guest co-host that show.
All right, go for it.
All right, it's time now for Richard Diamond, Private Detective Dick Powell, starred as this great detective set out of New York City. It was created by Blake Edwards, who directed all the Pink Panther movies. And David Janssen played him on television, but on radio, it was Dick Powell. And I think you're going to love this show. Let's go back to February 1st, 1952, for the Garibaldi case. Here's Dick Powell in part one of Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, your plight is our delight.
Helen Asher speaking, a gal alone with just a phone.
Oh, clever Helen, clever.
Thank you, sir. After all, you're not the only one who can make up corny slogans.
Easy, girl. You're crowding me.
Of course, I just might give up my slogans if you were on time for dinner tonight.
Well, that's the deal. I can't stand competition.
Seriously, Rick, I have a surprise for you tonight.
Oh? You're inviting a preacher for dinner, maybe?
No, nothing like that. But I'm fixing the whole dinner myself, from soup to salad.
Oh, great Scott. $4 million and she can cook, too.
Well, you just remember to go easy on lunch. I want you to have an appetite by the time you get here.
Helen, I couldn't think of eating anything that would spoil my appetite. Besides, the automat won't take slugs anymore. Well, I do believe little old me has a little client.
Must be male. I don't hear your fangs clicking.
Oh, dear, you're so astute. Bye.
Bye.
You, Diamond?
That's right.
Well, what do you know? Odds were 10-1 I'd find you in.
You don't say.
Yeah, now get your hat, Paddle. It's 45 puts the odds in my favor. Now get up.
What are the odds on finding out what this is all about?
100-1 right now. You'll find out soon enough, though. Now come on. And Diamond, don't try no tricks. You do, and it's even money, you'll be a dead man.
Well, some people collect stamps. Me, I collect strange visitors. And the character who led me downstairs to his car was one of the strangest I'd seen all week. He wore a loud check vest, purple sports coat, and bright yellow slacks. And every time he opened his mouth, he gave odds on something or other. We drove through town, finally pulled up in front of a ritzy apartment house. He led me back to an apartment on the first floor.
Hold it. This is it. Inside, Diamond. That's far enough. Hey, Janet! Janet!
I'm right here, Freddy. You don't have to...
I told you it was 4-1. I could bring him here.
Oh, you win the bet, Freddy. Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, hello. Freddy, if you'd told me she was going to be here, you wouldn't have needed odds.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I'm a very sweet guy, especially with a gun in my back.
Oh, you can put it away now, Freddy, and take a walk. I want to speak to Mr. Diamond alone.
Oh.
Freddy!
Okay. Only the odds are 3-1, I should stick around.
Mr. Diamond, I need your help. I suggested this to Freddy, and he said he'd bring you. I had no idea he'd force you to come.
Oh, skip the apologies, honey. Just why do you need my help?
My name is Janet Collins. My brother is Bert Collins. Does that name mean anything to you?
Well, all depends. There was a Bert Collins sentenced to the electric chair a few months ago. Same one?
Yes, but he isn't guilty, Mr. Diamond. Bert was convicted of murdering a bookie, but he didn't. He tried to tell his story in court, but they wouldn't believe him.
And I take it you want to tell me his story now.
Exactly.
Well, I'm listening.
Bert went into the pool room to see this bookie about a loan. While he was talking to him, a stranger came in and shot the bookie. Said something about getting even. And the stranger dropped the gun and ran.
And what did Bert do all this time?
Well, he was stunned. He bent over the body and picked up the gun just as the police rushed in. It looked like he did it. Only he's innocent, Mr. Diamond.
Honey, as I remember it, your brother had a fair trial. 12 men disagree with you about his guilt.
I know that. But there's one man who can prove he told the truth.
Oh? Well, keep talking.
There was a witness to the murder. A little racketeer named Tony Garibaldi was in the pool room when it happened. He saw the stranger come in and kill the bookie.
Why didn't this come out at the trial?
Because we couldn't find Tony.
We?
Freddie, Bert's lawyer, and myself. We have witnesses who swear they saw Tony enter the pool room and rush out after the shooting.
But you haven't got Tony.
No, and he's the only one who can prove Bert is innocent. Unless we find Tony by tomorrow, it'll be too late. Please take the case, Mr. Diamond. Find Tony Garibaldi.
Well, I can give it a try. This is a big city, though. Tony could be hiding anywhere.
I know it's a hard job, but I'll pay the usual fee, and I'll be very grateful, Mr. Diamond. Very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Well, save the gratitude for later, dear, after we find Tony Garibaldi. Oh, Diamond, a pretty face, a sob story, and you get into the screwiest cases. Find a cheap racketeer out of 7 million people. I wonder what kind of odds Freddie would have given me on that. I caught a cab back to my office, picked up my card, then drove down to the Fifth Precinct. I was hoping Lieutenant Walt Levinson could give me some lead on Tony Garibaldi.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Diamond.
Mr. Diamond? Wow, so formal.
New policy. Commissioner decided we were getting too lax here at the Fifth Precinct. Henceforth, we are to treat visitors with dignity and respect.
You don't say.
Yeah, and stop grinning. What do you want down here, anyway?
Oh, I'm working on a case. You remember Bert Collins?
And how? Grilled him after he was arrested.
Tough boy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm working to spring him.
Yeah, he was one of the... What? Are you crazy? Collins gets the chair tomorrow night.
I know, but his sister says he's innocent.
And you believed her?
I don't know. She wants me to find a punk named Tony Garibaldi. Says Tony witnessed the murder and can prove Bert didn't do it.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That's what Bert told us. We tried to locate Tony, but he's dropped out of circulation.
You think Tony really saw the murder?
Who knows? Guy next door to the pool room said he saw Tony enter and come out later after the shots. Look, Rick, there's no doubt that Bert did it. The patrolman on the beat rushed in, found him standing over the body with a gun in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, then why is Tony hiding? And why would Bert's sister want me to find Tony unless he was sure he could free her brother?
All I know is we had all the evidence against Bert that we needed. He tried to borrow money from the bookie. Bookie refused. They had a fight. Bert shot him. Open and shut kiss.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, Walt. I'm still going looking for Tony Garibaldi. Any leads on him?
Nah, I'm afraid not. Chances are some of the petty rackets might know where he is. Tony's worked all the cheap rackets, got a lot of friends.
Well, I guess I start covering the petty rackets then, huh?
Yeah, good luck, Rick. Bert is innocent. I'd hate to see him burn.
Well, if I find Tony, I'll bring him into you here.
I'm glad you said if. If you find Tony and if he can clear Bert Collins.
That's right, Fatty. If. New York is a big city, and like any big city, it has a lot of rackets. Everything from fake panhandlers to phony insurance salesmen. But someone in these rackets might know where I could find Tony Garibaldi. So I began checking. One racket after another, charity rackets, used car rackets, everything. Yeah, a lot of people knew Tony, but they hadn't seen him in months, or so they said. It was late afternoon by the time I pulled up in front of Sneezy Williams' apartment. A few years back, Sneezy had organized every pickpocket in town, formed a sort of a union. There was a chance he might know Tony's whereabouts. I got out of my car and started for his apartment.
Don't turn around, Dan.
It couldn't be your finger sticking in my back, could it, friend?
No, it couldn't be. Walk toward that alley, Diamond, or I'll put a hole right through you.
That's a pleasant thought. Now, pal, if this is a stick-up, you're in for a disappointment. The only green stuff in my wallet is moss.
Shut up and don't turn around. That's far enough. Diamond, I hear you've been looking for me.
Oh, you're Garibaldi?
Shut up. I'll do the talking, Diamond. I don't know what your angle is in this or why you're after me, but I want you to lay off.
Well, why are you hiding, Tony? What are you afraid of?
Never mind that. Now, look, I've heard you're a right guy. I hate to do this, but you got to understand I'm not kidding. Keep away from me, or next time you won't get off so easy.
Tony, listen to me.
That's the first portion of A Good Detective Adventure of Richard Diamond from 1952, the Garibaldi case starring Dick Powell. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Roger Badish. All right. This is snappy music, too.
I know what this is.
This is, I don't know.
It's a Disney movie.
Oh.
Lindsay Lohan. Well,
hang on. Don't tell me.
She was a twin.
Twins, right?
That's not the name of it.
What the heck's the name of this movie again? What is it? Elif? Are you playing this piano here? Are you playing the piano? Elif's a pianist. And so is Lisa. You both play the piano.
I'm sorry.
Lisa plays the piano and you play the piano.
I'm jamming over here. It's Young Holtz with Unlimited Soulful Strut.
Yeah, but what
from
movie? The Parent Trap.
Yes.
Ah, got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Well, we're listening to a very good detective adventure of Richard Diamond called The Garibaldi Case. Let's get back to Dick Powell now as Richard Diamond, private detective.
And now back to Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
I was looking for a little racketeer named Tony Garibaldi. Only instead of finding him, Tony found me. And he left a bump on my head as a not too gentle reminder that he didn't appreciate me searching for him. But now I was even more determined to find him for two good reasons. One, he might save Bert Collins from the chair. And two, I wanted to repay him for that crack on the head with interest. After I'd come to in the alley, I went to a cafe on the corner, smoked four Camels, had two cups of coffee, and washed my face. I felt much better as I walked back up the street to Sneezy Williams' apartment. I climbed the stairs and knocked on Sneezy's door. When the door opened, Sneezy stood there, his face screwed up like he'd just bitten into an unripe persimmon, then... Relief spread over his pudgy features, and he held out his hand.
Ricky Diamond. Long time no see.
How are you, Sneezy?
Bad, Ricky. Awful bad. Come on in.
Well, thanks. What's that smell?
Fumes from my vaporizer over there on the table. I gotta breathe them. It clears up my head.
Oh. I hear you've gone up in the world, Sneezy. Pickpocket union, huh?
Diamond, please, don't use that word, pickpocket. In the trade, we call them cadets.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful.
A common mistake. Mm. Yeah, I organize the boys. It keeps them out of each other's territory, and I get a percentage of all their takes.
Mm. Well, that explains the fancy apartment.
Uh-huh. Only what good's dough when you're a sick man like me? I got a cold all year round. I've been under a mustard plaster so long, I feel like a hot dog. What brings you here, Ricky?
I'm looking for a man, Sneezy. Thought you might know where I could find him.
Well, it all depends. Come on, let's sit over here by the vaporizer. I gotta sniff those fumes. Who are you after, Rick?
Guy by the name of Tony Garibaldi.
Tony, huh?
You know him?
Oh, sure. Worked for me a few years back. I haven't seen him lately, though.
Where was he living when you knew him, Sneezy?
Now, let's see. Excuse me a sec. Ooh, them fumes feel good.
About Tony.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I should know it. Sure. He lived with his mother. Yeah, that's a nice old lady. I've been over there a few times.
Over where, Sneezy? What's the address?
The address, Ooh, them fumes. You know, these vaporizers come pretty high these days. This one set me back $10.
All right, Sneezy, here's $10.
Vicky, you are a kindred soul.
Just make with the address, Sneezy.
Yeah, the old lady runs a dry cleaning shop over on 79th and 3rd. Right on the corner, you can't miss it.
No.
Ooh, them foo. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Gesundheit. That last one must have registered on the Caltech seismograph. I left Sneezy with another Gesundheit and went out the door before he blew me out. Then I went to my car, drove across town to the cleaning shop on 79th and 3rd. Inside, I found a tired-looking old lady marking clothes.
Yes? You have come for clothes?
No, Mrs. Garibaldi. I'm looking for your son.
Tony?
Tony.
What is it you want with him?
I'd like to talk to him.
Your friend, the police?
Well, indirectly, yes.
Go away.
Now, Mrs. Garibaldi...
Go away. You're not dressed like a policeman. You're not from the police. You wish to harm my Tony. Go away.
Mrs. Garibaldi, your son's in a lot of trouble. He might be able to save an innocent man from dying. I intend to find him.
Tony's in trouble, yes, I know. He comes here months ago, tells me he must hide. He does not tell me why. Why must Tony hide from men like you? Why?
Your son witnessed a murder.
This is a crime?
No, no, but Tony ran away. Now, if he tells what he really saw, perhaps an innocent man will go free.
Tony is a good boy. He wouldn't have wished harm to innocent man.
Perhaps Tony's afraid, Mrs. Garibaldi. Afraid some harm will come to him if he tells the truth.
Is this true?
No. The police will protect your son. But they can't protect him if they don't know where he is. He's in more danger now.
How do I know you speak the truth? You're not from the police. I know you're not harmed, Tony, yourself.
You can check with the police. Lieutenant Levinson, 5th Precinct. He'll vouch for me.
Oh, I do not know. You would not tell me to check unless you spoke the truth. But I do not know.
Where's Tony living, Mrs. Garibaldi?
Tony says I'm not to tell anyone.
Your son's afraid. People in fear don't think clearly. Now, where's Tony?
Tony's a good boy. It is no good. He must hide.
Where is he?
Tony must hide no more. Tony must tell the truth. If I do wrong, me, I be forgiven, but I will tell you where Tony hides.
Mrs. Garibaldi wrote the address on a slip of paper. I called Janet Collins and asked her to meet me at Tony's hideout. Together, we might be able to persuade him to tell the truth about the murder. When I got to Tony's rooming house, Janet hadn't arrived yet, so I went up alone. And after 5 flights, I didn't bother to knock.
What's that?
Hello, Tony.
Diamond.
Yeah. Now, punk, we'll have a little talk.
You get out of here. Leave me alone.
Now, stay right there, Tony. I've got the gun this time. And I'm itching to pay you back for that wallop in the alley.
I had to do that, Diamond. You don't understand.
Well, then suppose you enlighten me. Who are you hiding from?
You know as well as I do. They hired you to find me, didn't they?
It all depends. Who do you mean by they?
Colin's sister Janet and that Freddy character. They hired you, didn't they?
That's right. To find a chicken-hearted punk who might be able to save Bert Collins from the chair. You're quite a guy, Tony. Let Bert die because you're afraid you'll risk your own neck.
Oh, come off it, Mr. Diamond. You must know why they want me. Sure, I was in the pool room the night of the murder. That's why I gotta hide.
I don't follow you, Tony. Now, who was it you saw?
You're trying to tell me you don't know.
I never ask questions if I know the answers.
Okay, then, here's your answer. Sure, I seen the killer. It was Bert Collins.
What?
I was at a back table. Bert come in. He didn't see me. And after the shots, I got out of there fast.
Ah, you're lying, Tony. Why are you hiding if Bert really did it? He's been convicted. He can't harm you.
No, but his sister and that Freddy guy can. After the murder, they got in touch with me. Told me I had to swear I saw a stranger come in and kill the bookie. They told me I had to swear Bert didn't do it.
So that's why you ran?
Sure, I didn't want to get in trouble with the law. But if I didn't lie, I'd be killed, so I hid out.
Mm. Well, Tony, if what you say is true, I'm the biggest stoop in town.
You gotta believe me, Mr. Diamond. I swear I tell the truth. And please don't tell them where I'm hiding, please.
It's too late for that, Tony. They already know.
What?
Yeah, come on. Let's get out of here. We'll get you to a safer place, then we'll have...
Hold it right there, kiddies. Odds of 5-1, I'll pull a trigger.
Well. Yellow vest, purple sports coat, and gray gun. Freddie, you're a regular Technicolor nightmare.
Better drop your gun, Diamond.
Hello, Janet.
Drop it. That's a sweet little boy.
You believe me now, Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, Tony, only don't rub it in.
Diamond, I'm sorry this has to be. I wanted you to find Tony, but I wish you hadn't talked to him.
Oh, Janet, you're a dreamer. This won't work. Even if Tony does swear Bert's innocent, the police will break his story. Your brother dies in the chair tomorrow night, and a lie can't save it.
We'll see about that. It's a chance, anyway.
Mm. Well, what about it, Tony? You gonna let him take you downtown and lie for them?
Well, I don't know.
I know Tony Diamond. Don't try and fill him with false bravado. He knows what Freddie'll do with him. Unless he does exactly what we tell him. Don't you, Tony?
Yeah, kid, you know. And the odds are 50 to 1, you'll say just what we want you to say.
I'm sorry, Mr. Diamond. I guess I gotta do what they want.
Oh, don't be a fool, Tony.
Shut up, Diamond. You've talked enough.
Freddie, I'll leave you here with Diamond. Tony and I'll wait in the car. Don't be long. Come on, Tony.
Diamond.
Now then, Diamond. Just you and me.
You make the most brilliant statements, Freddie.
Yeah, and the odds are, hey, keep your hands out of your pocket.
Oh, take it easy, Freddie. There couldn't be a gun in this pocket. Just got a half dollar. See?
What's I did?
Well, Freddie, old boy, the way I see it, I'm about to be shot.
That's even money, all right.
Well, I can't figure out whether to die a hero trying to rush you or just stand here and wait for you to shoot.
Huh?
Now, either way, I die. So I might as well decide which way I want it. Thought I might flip a coin.
Diamond, you must be a little off, huh?
Freddie, I didn't admit it before, but you see, I'm crazy about gambling, too, just like you.
Yeah, huh?
Sure, sure. You can appreciate a sportsman wanting to go out like this, to die on a gamble.
I don't know.
Oh, Freddie, relax. Either way, I die. Now, I'll flip the coin, 2 out of 3. Heads, I die rushing you. Tails, I wait for you to shoot.
It is sort of interesting.
Here we go. Up. There. Tails.
You're right.
2 out of 3. Up.
What is it?
Heads.
Well, go on. This one tells the tale.
Yeah, Freddy, this one tells the tale. I held the coin against my thumb. Freddie was interested now. He was the type who liked any kind of a bet, and in this one, the odds were all in his favor. But I always did like long shots. I flipped the coin high. Only this time, I didn't catch it. I let it fall to the floor, and Freddie's eyes followed it. This was what I needed. I threw him off balance, and the gun went clattering to the floor. Then my right hand plowed into a yellow vest, and my left hand followed through. And that took care of Freddy. But there was still Janet outside with Tony in the car. I stripped Freddy of his purple sport coat, put it on, and went downstairs. Outside, I saw Janet and Tony in a blue sedan parked at the curb. I lowered my head, went around to Janet's side as fast as I could.
Get in the other side, Freddy. Diamond.
Now, take it easy, honey.
Let me go.
Oh, just relax now. You'll go somewhere in a minute. Tony.
Yeah?
Run out the corner and get the cop at the beat to take care of our little friends, will you? And make it snappy. I got a date at 7 o'clock. I wonder how Helen will like me in a purple sport jacket. I beg your pardon, Helen, dear?
I said,
Well, that's what I thought you said. Now, dear, please stop staring at me. It makes me self-conscious.
Oh, I just can't help it, Rick. I don't think it's right for a woman to tell a man how to dress.
I agree.
Only sometimes. Well, that purple sport jacket.
I was wondering when you'd notice it.
Oh, I noticed it when you first came in. I'm just getting over the shock.
Oh, I knew you'd like it, dear. Wait until you see my red, white, and blue slacks. I'm saving them for Lincoln's birthday.
Oh, now, Rick, what's come over you?
Personality, dear. Now, settle back and listen to your colorful boyfriend sing a sweet song.
Oh, what a way to spend an evening. A purple coat, a piano, and a private detective. And I'm the gal who graduated from Vassar.
And so to sleep again. as if I'll ever sleep again. These restless nights go on, away from you. And so to dream again, as if I'll ever dream again. My darling, since you're gone, my dreams are through. No other arms can ease this ache within my heart. No other lips can kiss away these tears that start. And so to sleep again, as if I'll ever sleep again, as if I'll ever love again anyone but you.
Oh, that was very nice.
Thank you.
Only I'm surprised you didn't sing a louder tune to go with your clothes.
Oh, Helen, from your tone, one would think you didn't approve of my new apparel.
Yes, one would, wouldn't one? Mm. One would also... Now, Rick. Rick. Oh, Rick.
Yes, dear.
More.
Well, aren't we romantic tonight?
Romantic, nothing. As long as you wear that jacket, I'd rather keep my eyes closed. Come
here. Tonight's transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond was written and directed by Dick Carr with music by Frank Worth. Virginia Gregg played the part of Helen Asher, and Alan Reed was Lieutenant Levinson. Others in the cast were Herb Butterfield, Gene Bates, and Parley Bear. America is sold on the American Broadcasting Company.
All right, that's Richard Diamond, private detective with the Garibaldi case. Originally, starred Dick Powell as Richard Diamond. And then on television, I think we talked about this, David Janssen, who later gained great fame as Dr. Richard Kimball on The Fugitive, played Richard Diamond on television. In this cast, Lisa, Virginia Gregg, do you know that Virginia Gregg supplied the voice to Mrs. Bates on the Alfred Hitchcock Psycho, all three movies, Psycho 1, 2, and 3. She was the voice of his mother.
Wow.
Norman!
Yeah,
Norman, sure. Get over here, Norman!
That's pretty good, yeah, actually.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it is 1:06 in the morning here. Happy Sunday, Lisa.
Happy Sunday, Carl.
When we come back here tonight...
You want to dance?
Not really. Okay. I'm not in a mood to dance right now.
Okay.
When I come back here and you come back here and Ella come back here tonight, Roger, we are going to celebrate Veterans Day.
Even you know though it's that? On Friday because...
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
because
it's the show before Veterans
right.
Day. So we have a Columbia Presents Corwin episode starring Orson Welles in 14 August, which is a Veterans Day show. And then we have a terrific Command performance, an hour-long episode, very fun show called Dick Tracy in B-flat. And Bing Crosby plays Dick Tracy on that, but there's all kinds of stars, Jimmy Durante and Frank Sinatra and Bob Hope and just, the you know, Dinah Shore and the Andrews Sisters. It's a terrific show. You know, and Command Performance was a show that was created for our troops overseas. It was for our troops to entertain them. And I'm telling you, it's a terrific program. You're going to love what we're going to play for you tonight for Veterans Day. So be with us at 11 p.m. here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, in this hour, we have the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Hold Back the Dawn, starring Charles Boyer from 1949, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars as practically perfect Mary Poppins in the upcoming musical Mary Poppins Returns. A grown-up Jane and Michael Banks are visited by Mary Poppins.
What do they win?
They will win a Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scentkeeper.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's our number, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actress on this clip. She co-starred with Benicio del Toro in The Wolfman.
Lawrence, please let me help you.
Ah, I like her voice. Sounds English.
Yeah.
Sounds English to me.
Would you date her?
Oh, yeah.
Just throw
oh,
it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just mentioning.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more. We'll find our winner after this. These words.
All righty. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop, and we're going to play that movie clip one more time.
Lawrence, please let me help you.
Definitely English.
Yes. Well, we, Elif, our producer, took a call offline. Is that correct, Ella?
Yes. And who is the winner?
The winner was Carol. She lives in Schaumburg, and she knew that the answer was Emily Blunt.
She's very blunt, that
she's
Emily,
very
isn't
blunt,
she?
Yes. But Carol knew that, and she will get a Christmas package, including a Lightkeeper Pro, which is a coveted prize, your complete tool for repairing holiday light scents, and a Scentkeeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree.
That's a lot
tree.
Of Yuletide there.
It's a lot. Visit LightkeeperPro.com, and congratulations to Carol.
All right, thank you. It's time for the Screen Directors Playhouse. This series adapted hit movies for radio airplay, and they did it great. So did Lux Theater and Screen Guild Theater. It was a few that did this where they took a movie and adapted it for radio airplay. Now, the difference with this show is they added the element of director participation. The director was usually there to kind of give a curtain call and talk about the making of the film. This was sponsored by RCA Victor. And it came to radio in 1949 and transitioned to TV in 1955. I have no idea how they could have done this on television, but they did. It probably was not that great.
How long did it last, you know?
Not too long.
No.
But on radio, it did well because, right, you know, theater of the mind. You can do it on radio, but on television?
Yeah, it doesn't.
How do you do a movie on TV?
Well, you know what? How do you do Charlie McCarthy on the radio? That doesn't make sense either. So
you would know because you're a ventriloquist.
I purport to be, yes.
Yeah. All right, was Edgar Bergen the dummy or was Charlie the dummy? Which one was the dummy?
Maybe it was me.
All right, so let's tune this in. Let's go back to May 15th, 1949. Charles Boyer stars in Hold Back the Dawn, part one of the Screen Directors Playhouse.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater presents Screen Director's Assignment, production Hold Back the Dawn, director Mitchell Lyson, stars Charles Boyer, Vanessa Brown. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a story fashioned for the heart. Hold Back the Dawn, starring Charles Boyer with Vanessa Brown, and introducing the director of the film, Mitchell Lyson. Some weeks ago, the NBC Theater introduced one of Hollywood's most expert directors of motion picture comedy. Tonight, he is our guest once again, as we present a film story of a quite different character. Thus, an impressive versatility is limelighted by the contrast between comedy and romantic drama, two forms of entertainment vividly directed by the same artist. Ladies and gentlemen, the director of such excellent films as Lady in the Dark, Kitty, To Each His Own, and tonight's story, Hold Back the Dawn, Mr. Mitchell Lyson.
Thank you, thank you. Hold Back the Dawn was a rather unusual film which tried to tell a story of how a motion picture is made. And that's how I happened to end up in front of the camera myself, managing somehow to act the part of a screen director named Mitchell Lyson. My job in the opening sequence was to listen as a fascinating rascal down on his luck tried to sell his story to motion pictures. Hold Back the Dawn is the story he told me. And now, Charles Boyer starring in his original role of George Iscovescu with Vanessa Brown as Emmy.
On one side of the high wire fence, standing in the desert heat, the stars and stripes flutter in the sunshine. For many waiting on the Mexican side, that flag is the goal, the soil it flies over, the dream. To George Iscovescu, barely within the law, international confidence man, gigolo, it merely means another people to exploit. But in his interview with the American consul on the Mexican side, George Iscovescu has met defeat for the third time in a year. Bewildered, despairing at last, George Iscovescu leaves the office of the consul. A very relaxed, cynical stranger speaks to him as he comes into the waiting room.
Well, how did it go, Iscovescu?
Eh? I beg your pardon?
Any luck this time?
Luck? I must wait 7 more years to enter the United States.
The Romanian quota is very small and very crowded.
Yes, yes, I know that. But 7 years in this heat, this filth with these flies and this prison sentence.
What are your plans?
Oh, I don't know. Find a cheaper hotel. Wait.
Try the Hotel Esperanza. Paint is peeling, the faucets drip. There are no shades on the light bulbs. But what do you expect at $1 a day? If you can get a room.
Is such a wretched place hard to get into?
Yeah, it's crammed with people wanting to get into the States.
Esperanza.
Tell him I sent you.
Who are you?
Inspector Hammock.
Inspector Hammock?
Of the United States Immigration Department, yeah. Good luck, Iscovescu.
Why don't you watch where you're driving?
Why don't you watch where you're walking?
You American tourists with your high-powered station wagons.
But this isn't a high-powered station wagon, and it isn't mine. I borrowed it from the school.
You don't also deny that you are an American, do you?
I gather you don't like Americans.
Very little.
Well, I'm sorry. Good day. And the next time, watch where you're going. Oh, my
goodness. And the next time, madam, watch where you're going.
Oh, what a mess.
Good day. Bartender, tequila here.
And now we present the dance sensation of the Riviera.
Anita!
And Discovescu.
Anita! Well, how good to see you again. How on earth? Why, the last time we were together was in 1939, in Cannes.
Ah, you remember that.
Oh, yes, of course.
Where are you staying, George?
Oh, a charming drain pipe known as the Esperanza.
I served time there.
Oh, how long for your quota?
I don't know. I didn't wait for my quota.
How did you get in?
You see this diamond ring?
Magnificent.
I married an American, a jockey of all things.
And what?
And simple. Marry an American and you get into the country in 4 weeks.
As easy as that?
This town is full of American women, George. Once over the border, you just get a divorce.
Did you?
Of course. In America, we could be wonderful together, George.
Bartender, anything the lady wants. I must go.
No, George. Where?
The village garage. I have a sudden definite interest in a wrecked station wagon there. Oh, excuse me, madam.
What? Oh,
It's you again.
Yes, I had to come here. You see, I feel partly to blame for your car being here in the garage.
Don't upset yourself about it.
No, please. I'm very sorry to have helped spoil your vacation.
Weekend. I've only the weekend off from school.
A student?
Oh, no, I'm a teacher.
Oh.
In fact, I even borrowed the station wagon from school. And now look at it.
Oh, I'm sincerely sorry.
Well, I'd better make a phone call. My folks at home will be worried about me.
Yes, yes, of course they will. Your parents? And perhaps your husband?
Oh, no, I'm not married.
My name is Iscovescu.
I'm Miss Brown.
George Iscovescu.
Emmy Brown.
That's much better now.
You see, we Americans aren't really so awful.
Miss Brown, would you take off your hat, please?
Why, what an odd request.
Wouldn't the school board approve?
Well, all right. There.
Amazing.
Why?
She had the same hair, only it was always blown by the wind that winter at St. Moritz.
Who were you talking about?
Miss Brown, you thought I was bitter when we met today.
You weren't sweet.
It was because I saw another woman in your face. Margot.
Margot?
Yes, Margot. Oh, that's over now. Keep looking at me, please. Ah, it's like a clean, fresh mountain breeze on a stifling day.
You're the strangest man.
Perhaps the loneliest.
Think perhaps I'd better be looking for lodgings if I'm not going to spend the night in the marketplace.
Let me try it, Esperanza. I have some influence there.
Come in, George.
Anita. What are you doing in my room, Anita?
I took the room next door, and the connecting door was unlocked.
Ah, so you take the only remaining room in the hotel. No wonder Miss Brown must spend the night on a leather couch in the lobby.
Miss Brown?
Well, never mind. What do you want?
I've been thinking about your darling. Hmm? How you held me when we danced. Hmm. Those gigolo eyes of yours. You cold, selfish, scheming, exciting. Oh, George, we could be wonderful together.
Anita, you can help me.
How?
That wedding ring on your finger.
What do you want it for? Miss Brown?
Of course, time is short. I told you she's asleep on a couch in the lobby. I must speak to her, and I must have the ring. Understand?
Take it.
Thank you.
Any means at all to accomplish our aim, George. Good luck with Miss Brown.
Miss Brown.
Oh, is it morning?
No, but I've been sitting here all night, Miss Brown, watching you sleep on that couch.
Oh, no. You've no right to be here.
No right to be here. No right to sit watching your face, learning it like a poem.
Oh, you must go away, please, right now.
Oh, you mustn't be afraid, Miss Brown. We are alike, we two. Like two trains, halted for a moment at some mysterious station in the darkness, but we are going in different directions. We can't change our course any more than we can hold back the dawn.
It is getting light, isn't it?
Yes, soon they'll be waking up. The shops will open. Your car will be repaired. And you will be gone forever. But to have seen you was to see the sun rise once more, to hear the enchantment of a woman's voice, to feel her nearness, the warmth of her lips.
No, please.
Look at your hand, Emmy. The left one.
A wedding ring.
Yes. I put it on your hand while you slept. It was my mother's.
Oh, how sweet.
Amy, I've been so terribly lonesome.
Other people are lonesome too, George. And I've always known deep in my heart that someday there'd be someone waiting for me. Even at the end of the world.
And is this that end of the world, Amy?
and the beginning, George.
Oh, Amy, my darling. See, it's going light.
Morning. You were right, darling. We couldn't hold back the dawn. For here it comes at last.
Yes, at last.
You are listening to the Hollywood Screen Directors presentation of Hold Back the Dawn, starring Charles Boyer with Vanessa Brown, and introducing the director of the film, Mitchell Lyson.
All right, let's take a break from the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Hold Back the Dawn, starring Charles Boyer and Vanessa Brown. Raymond Burr in this cast, too. I noticed his voice there. He was Ironside, and he was Perry Mason, Lisa Wolf. I'm sure you knew that.
Of course I did, actually.
Very good. May 15th, 1949. We'll get back to this Screen Directors Playhouse after these words. I'm going to find out if Pepe Le Pew was supposed to be Charles Boyer.
How are you going to do that, Carl?
I'm going to go online. I'm going to do a little
searching. You know how to do that?
I'm going to surf.
You know how to do that, Carl?
I'm going to pull out my surfboard and surf the internet.
That's pretty bold for you.
But I'll probably fall off that surfboard.
For someone who doesn't do apps.
He doesn't do apps, I know.
I don't do apps. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I don't do Instagram. I don't do any of that stuff. I think it's all bad for you. I think it could give you the Twitters. I don't want to get the Twitters. And then I would need a prescription. I'd have to have our listener go to Walgreens and get me a prescription to get rid of the Twitters.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
But, you know, Roger is really good with
all this stuff.
I have way too much time on my hands.
And you know what? You know what else he's really good at?
Well, how do you think
Pokemon Go.
How do you think I knew he was wearing his $10 shirt that he ordered online?
Roger's very electronically
because I'm right behind Roger.
Savvy. Yeah,
I stick my finger in the outlet once in a while.
And I run right behind you and do it, too.
Very technologically savvy, that Roger
Vanish. Yes, he is.
That's great because you know what? Because
you're not.
I can type. That's about I'm a very fast typer.
Are
With
you?
With two fingers.
I was going to say both hands.
Hands? No, I'm a very fast typer. I can't do the numbers. I have to look at the numbers, but I can do all the letters.
All right. Can you tell me the letters of the keyboard as we sit here? No, without looking?
I could, yeah.
I could literally rattle them off.
Because we're listening to Screen Directors Playhouse here.
Sure you could.
But I'm going to search right now. I'm going to get on my...
you start looking.
I'm going to put some wax on my surfboard so I don't fall off.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm going to try
next week, you'll let me
surfing.
Know if you found something.
Let's get
gonna,
back.
Are you going to hang 10?
Yeah, I'm going to hang 10
right, get
on
going.
My teeter inversion table. I'm going to hang 10 on my toes. On my teeter. All right, let's go back to broadcast date of May 15th, 1949 for the conclusion to Hold Back the Dawn on the Screen Directors Playhouse.
George, darling, order me another drink and listen to this. It's too precious.
Anna, Anita, perhaps I should resent you reading my wife's letters aloud to me in a bar.
Oh, but listen, will you? 4 more weeks, darling, and then you can join me here in California and we'll be together forever. Lovingly, darling, your wife, Emmy.
My wife is wonderful. Never see her? Write her a few letters? Call her up once or twice? And once across the border?
We'll be on our merry way to New York.
With a short stop in Azusa. Half an hour, you know, long enough to tell Emmy of a love that was too great to last. A mistake that was too lovely not to have been made.
That she was too good and you were too low.
Half an hour, Anita. She'll brush off like a drop of rain.
Oh, you swine.
Everybody having a good time?
Uh-oh. Inspector Hammer.
Hello, folks. Hello, Escovescu. Remember me?
Oh, of course. The immigration officer.
How's the hotel I recommended?
Fifth, eh? How are you, Anita? How's your husband?
Fine.
Is he still in the cast?
Cast? What cast?
You mean you don't know he was hurt in a race at Santa Anita?
We are divorced.
No. That beautiful love match? Isn't it a shame how love cools off the minute people get into the United States?
Well, would you excuse me, please? I really must...
From now on, we're going to be very harsh on people who marry for immigration and not for love.
Well, excuse me, I just remembered I must write several important letters in my room. Forgive me, please.
Surprise, George!
Amy!
Surprise!
Amy, what? I wasn't expecting you.
I know. I brought you a wedding cake.
Oh, all the way from Azusa?
Mother baked it.
Oh, bless her.
My principal gave me a week off for a honeymoon with you. He gave me the station wagon again.
Bless him, too.
I'm going to stay here a whole week with you.
Stay here? A week? Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter, dear?
Well, I mean, I won't let you stay here. You see, it's horrible.
I don't mind.
Oh, this place is for cockroaches, for despair, for hammocks.
Hammocks?
Well, did I say that? It's a kind of scorpion. Yes, you know, this is, in every respect, no place for us to begin our lives together.
Oh, George.
Darling, you came for a honeymoon? We'll go on a honeymoon. A whole week.
George, darling, listen to the windshield wipers.
Well, they're all right, aren't they?
Listen to their rhythm. They seem to be saying, together, 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 together. Can you hear it?
Yes, I can hear it.
Oh, George, there's a sweet old Mexican church. I'd like to go in for a minute, please.
All right, if you like.
I'm sorry if I cried in church, George. I was so happy.
I'm very glad.
George, this olive tree beside the walk.
Yes?
Stop here. They say if married couples shake the tree, however many olives fall, they'll have that many children.
That's a foolish legend, Amy.
Then let's be foolish, George. Shake the tree.
Very well. Very well.
One, two, three. Three olives.
Boys or girls?
Well, this one is Joshua, after my father. This one's Helen, because I always wanted to be named Helen. I hate Emmy. And this one? What was your father's name?
Gregor.
He shall be Gregor. George.
Yes, Amy?
Kiss me.
Oh, in front of the three children?
Yes?
So be it, Amy.
Thank you, George.
You are a curious thing.
I love my husband very much.
It's very strange, but kissing you just now was like kissing fresh snow.
Nice, sleeping in the station wagon like this.
Well, I'm not sure yet. Romanian I am, but gypsy I am not.
It's a beauteous evening. Calm and free. A holy time as quiet as a nun.
All of these evenings have been lovely.
But tomorrow, our honeymoon's over. I must go back to the States.
Yes, but only 3 more weeks apart.
I wonder how the immigration authorities would like to be without their wives for 3 weeks.
I've seen their wives. They liked it very much.
Good night, darling.
Good night, Emmy.
I love my husband very much. The Esperanza again. Oh, I hate to see this come to an end.
We'll be together again in 3 weeks. Now, you run up to your room and freshen up. You know you've got a 5-hour drive ahead of you. I'll attend to the car for you.
I'll only be a few minutes, George.
All right.
George! George!
Anita!
Welcome back. Great news, George. We're leaving for New York and the Club Casanova just as soon as you're over the border.
No, I'm not going right on to New York.
The stopover in Azusa will only be a half hour, you said.
It will be however long it takes.
Oh, Josh, don't tell me you like that girl.
Well, let's say I like her enough not to behave like a complete swine for once in my life. I'll join you in New York when I can.
No, George. I will not stand in Times Square and whistle for you.
Now, listen to me.
I'll buzz and rattle, George, like a rattlesnake.
Anita.
Don't tread on me, George. Don't tread on me. May I come in?
Of course. Who are you?
You are Mrs. Escovescu?
Yes, why?
I'd like you to return my wedding ring.
What would I be doing with your ring?
You're wearing it.
This?
That.
It belonged to my husband's mother.
Isn't George wonderful? He always knows how to pluck a heartstring.
What are you talking about? Tell me.
Darling, it was all my idea.
What idea? Tell me.
About his marrying you just to get across the border.
You're lying.
Read the engraving inside the ring. To Toots for Keith.
Get out!
No. Sit down, dear. This is going to be all about you and me and just lots of other women. And George and love. And immigration, darling. Immigration.
Amy, may I come in?
Come in, George.
Well, the car is all ready to go, dear. And I've just come up to tell...
George. Anita was just here.
Yes?
She told me everything.
What did she tell you?
About the ring. About all the other women. About the way you made your living. About marrying me. Just to get into the United States.
True enough. Are you going to expose me to the immigration authorities?
No.
Thank you, Emmy. You've always been full of words. Large, fancy words. Now, just one word. Thanks.
I've always been full of words, too. Not very fancy. Now just one word, George. Goodbye.
George, can't you do anything besides lie on that bed all day and smoke cigarettes and stare at the ceiling?
Oh, please, please, Anita, quiet.
George, you look strange.
Be quiet.
What are you staring at?
Emmy.
Emmy?
Emmy, be careful. Look out.
George, what's the matter? Are you sick or something?
Huh? Anita, something's happened to Emmy on the road.
What?
All at once, I saw her. The car spinning and skidding. The brakes screaming.
Oh, nonsense.
I wonder.
I'll go, George.
No, I'll go. Iscovescu. Where, Inspector?
I'm sorry.
My wife? Tell me. My wife?
There's been an accident.
Oh, no.
Where is she? A General Hospital, Los Angeles.
Must have a car.
You can't cross the border, man.
Who's got a car? Anita, who can lend me a car?
Gloria is downstairs at the desk.
Get out of my way.
You can't crash the border, man. We'll bring you back and never let you in again.
Get out of my way, I said!
Is Risco Vescu?
Yes, Doctor. How is she? Where's my wife?
In here, but I must tell you, she has no will to live. There's no fight in her, no spirit. She hasn't spoken since we brought her in.
Oh, is this a room?
Do what you can.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. Emmy, it's George. I'm here, darling. Emmy, do you hear me, dearest? I'm here. We're together. Remember that night, the car, Lorraine, the windshield wiper speaking to us. Remember? Together. Now try to breathe. Together. Remember, Emmy? Emmy?
George!
No. Rest. You must sleep. Sleep.
Good morning, Mr. Iscovescu. Oh,
good morning, Doctor. I was just going in to see my wife again. How is she?
Your seeing her yesterday worked wonders.
May I go in now?
Certainly.
Thank you, Doctor.
Just a minute, there, Iscovescu.
Inspector Hammock.
You crashed the border.
I know.
I came up after you.
Naturally.
You'll never get into the States now.
Good enough.
Unless I forget what I saw. If I can't remember the incident, I can't report it, can I?
Inspector Hammock, you...
Save it. You're the husband of an American wife. You're made for each other. And she's in there. Don't keep an American woman waiting if she's Iscovescu. They don't like it.
Thank you, Inspector.
Good luck, Iscovescu.
Amy.
George, we are together.
Yes, my darling. Always and forever.
George.
Emmy, do you know, I love my wife very much.
And now here are tonight's stars, Charles Boyer and Vanessa Brown, and screen director Mitchell Lyson.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
And good night to you, Charles Boyer, Vanessa Brown, and Mitchell Lyson. Hold Back the Dawn was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is the Technicolor production Streets of Laredo, starring William Holden, William Bendix, and McDonald Carey, having its world premiere in Laredo, Texas, tomorrow night. Vanessa Brown will soon be seen in the Paramount William Wyler production, The Heiress. Mitchell Lyson's current production is Bride of Vengeance, starring Paulette Goddard, John Lund, and McDonald Carey. Included in tonight's cast were Raymond Burr, John Daner, and Gene Bates. Hold Back the Dawn was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Bill Karn. Your announcer has been Frank Barton. Listen again next week when the NBC Theater presents...
Screen Director's Assignment, production Her Husband's Affairs, director S. Sylvan Simon, star Lucille Ball.
The NBC Theater came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Screen Director's Playhouse, May 15th, 1949, Hold Back the Dawn, starring Charles Boyer, Vanessa Brown, Raymond Burr and John Daner, a good show from 1949, heard on NBC. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. When we come back here tonight, Lisa Wolf,
yes.
You can pull more out of my crevice if you'd like to.
Oh, good.
Another one of these
we've got
Mel Blanc.
We've got a great show
what
tonight.
What do we have?
We have Command Performance. It's a one-hour show, right?
Yes.
We have Dick Tracy and B-flat.
Uh-huh.
And we have Columbia Presents Corwin.
Yeah. We're actually going to flip the order of those shows tomorrow. We're going to play Columbia Presents Corwin first,
okay.
And then we're going to do the hour-long Command Performance.
Okay, and that's 14 August with Orson Welles, which is exciting.
And don't forget, we have Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, coming in here at 11 o'clock, and he's going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And I know we had a bunch of people send in some cat
pictures.
Yes,
we got
today.
A few of them during the show tonight, and you still have a chance to send them in as long as it gets to us before 11 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe 10:30.
So take a picture of your kitty cat, send it in to us, email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com, and make sure you put your kitty cat's name and your city and state. That would help.
Yep, and enter. You will be entered to win automatically, and we hope that you will be the winner.
All right, sounds good. You know, I've been picking out.
You've been picking
Christmas shows.
Yes.
For Christmas, and in fact, they're all up on the website. If you go to WGNRadioTheater.com, you'll see the schedule for all of the programs from now through the end of the year.
And just so you know, each week, a couple days before, we also post on WGN Radio Theater Facebook.